I love today. And what we do today, we have a competition period where we go against one another, you know, in practice. And that part is a huge part of us getting ready. It's our defense trying to, you know, with the speed and the effort, trying to go against their offense, all the matchups on their side. So we'll definitely have some guys competing for the black jerseys, which we give out tomorrow to a few of the guys. Today we dedicate to the ball, and for sure this game is going to come right down to it. So both teams, we were at plus 13, they were at plus 10, and no question it's going to be an important part of this game for sure. So with that, I'm glad to open it up to your questions with the game.
Any injury situation today? Can you update us on what'll be on the report tonight?
Sure, I'll be glad to. Limited today. We'll do most of the work, but not everything. We'll be Babineaux and Gabriel, and then Julio won't. He participated in our walkthrough stuff, but he'll go fully into tomorrow, and we'll hold him today.
Coach, you're a finalist for Salute to Service, and you want to talk about that?
It's honestly a tremendous honor to be a finalist for that, and I've gotten way more out of it and the experience I've had from learning from so many military men and women through the years. Honestly, just to be named as a finalist for that is as humbling as I could possibly express to you.
Is there a background to why you are so devoted to that?
Not a background, but there is for sure a connection. I think our military does team better than anybody, and I've always seen our armed forces as a huge team. And so the way we learn from them and our respect for what they do and how they do it, I just always gain information from them every time I go. So my respect is through the roof.
Before you came out, Coach, what do you share with us what he is talking to other players who hadn't made it to the NFC Championship? You've been to the Super Bowl. You've been a part of the coaching staff. What are you, in terms of your approach with preparation, what are you sharing with your team going forward to this game?
Yeah, I'm glad that you asked that. It's a great message. We want to make this week feel, in terms of our preparation, like the other weeks. We've got a real process that we go through to get ready. So just to answer that question, we don't want it to go over the top and make up a new routine or a new practice structure or a new way that we prepare. So that part, we want to make sure as performers and competitors, we got a real routine about getting ready. And the players rely on one another for that. And that's where we find our edge in that preparation, in that process. So we're going to stay right on that.
How different would be your game plan from facing Russell Wilson last week to facing Aaron Rodgers now? You faced Rodgers before as DC for the Seahawks in the playoffs.
Both of them are really good, and both of them are very unique and different. And the similarities are both of them can extend plays and get outside the pocket to create move, you know, plays where it may start as one thing and end up entirely something different. So that's where the similarities are in terms of their athletic ability to move outside the pocket. Each team has uniqueness about them, and how do you match up and where do you focus your game plan on? So that part's for sure different. As far as matchups go from early in the year, I think both teams are quite a bit different from the first time we played, and I think both teams have improved quite a bit when you watch the tape. So it's going to be a hell of a matchup. And they're all three phases, different areas of emphasis for this week for them and for us.
What has impressed you about Kyle Shanahan as a coach, and what drew you to him in the first place?
First thing, I can kind of do it from the backwards forward. The first thing that that drew me to that system and to him specifically was how difficult it can be to defend when you have to defend the entire field. And he had a real understanding of that, and playing against him and competing against that scheme, I kind of always had in the back of my mind, all right, if I had an opportunity to become a head coach, I had a pretty good sense of what I'd like to do defensively. And I knew offensively, that's hard. And I wanted to make sure I knew what the challenges were from dealing with an offense that had real balance and could run and play action and keepers and have that style with it. And so Kyle fit that for me. And so that's how our connection began. And so when the opportunity came that we could partner up, that's what was important to me. But when I was first looking into it, the people that I visited with had a system that would be in place that featured, you know, run and pass.
Dan, to that, to continue on that theme, you're a guy with a defensive background, and you get a team that's, you know, explosive on offense. Is it almost counterintuitive to get involved in these shootouts?
Right. I think you're trying to ask me if I'd just become an offensive coach now. Is that what you're saying? of course I have. As far as the game goes, we just treat each game you know, as we go. We don't look for shootouts or we're going to shut them out. Like, how well can we play, man? We got to go attack in all three phases. I don't get jammed up on it's going to be this scoring or that. What I can tell you is they got two quarterbacks that are really playing, and both defenses are going to be battling for it. The differences are there. You know, it's not like both teams throw it every play. There's all sorts of matchups that go on in the game. But the ball is going to be a real factor in this one, I can tell you that. You know, and who can take care of it better, who can knock a few out to create some extra possessions. That part, I can say fully that I believe that.
How has it changed how you approach coaching defensively when you have an offense that is so high-powered? How does that affect the defense, maybe in terms of, you know, how you play rotations and
I would say it may, I don't know if you change your philosophy or change your setup, but we're at, I think the league is heading this way. We're over 70% nickel, you know, our defense is. And that wouldn't have been the case, you know, 10 years ago. If somebody had said you're going to be 70% nickel, they looked at you unusually and said, well, you know, who's not running? The teams are running the ball really well out of three receiver sets and two back sets with three receivers or three receivers and tight end. So that's changed more defensively, that you play more nickel. But past that, we just try to complement one another really well. And knowing each week's a different matchup, but we don't have a general philosophy different defensively due to our explosiveness on offense.
Is defense still, Dan, though? When you see two teams get in, like Green Bay and Atlanta, that are down in kind of how we traditionally look at defenses, or none of, they're not high in anything. And I think New England's the only one left that's top 10 in both scoring
really good.
And yardage.
I've read that.
So, I mean, this is the old adage, defense wins championships, doesn't apply anymore in the
NFL? No, I don't think that's the case. I think the best team, you know, is going to do it. And who has the best complementary stuff, you know, who can play, you know, in all three phases and keep attacking. So I recognize the storyline for it because, you know, these are two quarterbacks that are playing at – who are already really good, and then their games are really on point. But the defense are going to be a factor in this game for sure. Who can make stops, who can create some turnovers, the tackling, the fundamentals. And that's why, like, today – days like today where we go against our offense, we work tackling, we work all the stuff that we do to get our fundamentals and our speed exactly right. That's an important part of our process to get ready.
Yeah, you're pretty familiar with all four quarterbacks left right now. They all have different styles, obviously.
Right.
But in your mind, is there anything that ties the four together?
I'd say, number one, just competing against those guys. Like, it's the competitors, as these guys are. And it's way more than, you know, like a an arm strength or, a, you know, maneuverability of a quarterback. It's that ability to go attack, knowing where to go, how to attack, having the mental quickness to know where to go with the ball against the right coverage at the right time. And that, to me, totally stands out with this group of men. It's the quickness that they can go attack and know where to go with it. Yeah, Jeff.
When you first came here, I know you. One reason you liked it here is Falcons had a starting quarterback, and you very upfront about that.
Yep.
And, but did your opinion of Matt change at all, either last year, maybe to the worse, or in your mind this year, did it jump up that he maybe now belongs in a group that maybe you weren't sure before?
I don't know about the second part, but what I can say is where he belonged. I've always thought Matt was a terrific quarterback. What I can tell you is there has been a shift. And there has been a jump in his play, his intent, his, you know, ability to know where to go, how to go with it, his technique, his decision-making. Anytime you're already playing really well and then you make a shift to go higher again, that part I've totally recognized.
There's all the questions about Matt and legacy questions and stuff like that, but Julio Jones, who we just heard from, you know, we know he's still dealing with some pain. He's in a very elite group of himself with receivers. And what stands out to you the most, too, as you know, preparing this week? Why he's so good beyond just 300 yards against the Panthers this year?
Sure. And I recognize the questions. And what's very cool for us, they're right in the middle of it. You know, Matt and who both, they're right in the middle of their careers. And so let's leave the legacy stuff for long down the line. These guys are right in the middle of it and battling for it. From a uniqueness part of what Julio does, for a bigger guy, he can change direction and has body balance like a smaller guy. So we often make the comparison for a guy who can play inside in the slot. They're smaller guys who can break people off in man-to-man. He just happens to be a 6'3", 220-pound guy that can play and lower his weight like a smaller guy. That would be one thing. It's his change of direction that can do. He's got the speed to take things all the way over the top. And then the last part, it's his body control. Oftentimes we see receivers go up for a ball and they catch it, and on the way down that they fall. He goes the other way. So when he goes up to catch it, the catch is happening, and now he's ready to land and keep on his feet and extend the play from there. So it's not an easy thing to do. Oftentimes all of your concentration is on the ball when you go up to jump for it. And when you catch it, you made the catch, and you go to the ground and take care of the ball. That's just the play starting for him. And so he can go and catch it and turn his body in a unique way and then land on his feet, get him down, and then extend the play. So I hope that answered your question. Those are three things that that set him apart.
Matt said yesterday that he feels like the wide receivers are the spark for the offense. Have you seen that too?
The wide receivers and the quarterbacks is a spark. What I can tell you is this. When I go, you know, getting started for the walkthrough, and they're in there together without us as the coaches and going through some of the things they want to go through as the install. As a coach, I couldn't tell you how fired up that makes me, knowing they're doing that to get ready and going through all the smaller details that they want to do to get ready. So that's what I was hoping to see guys doing it on their own, finding that edge where it didn't come from me as their coach. And when I talk about like player-led accountability, that's it. That's it to a T, to see the tight ends, running backs, receivers. Hey, let's go through this together. We don't need the coaches to do that. And I know defense has their time that they do some things together. But those little pockets, those little windows that have time spent professionally without the coaches, I think it's so valuable. Like, we give them the guidelines, we give them the plays, but we're outside the white. And so inside, that kind of communication in the huddle, you know, if I could tell you the conversation in the huddle, they'd mic us out, you know, or you know, block us out, whatever the term is. So having that kind of communication amongst one another, I think it's critical.
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk about the toughness that you and your staff have brought here. Can you define toughness and how that has aided you and your team to get to this point?
One of the terms that we use here, we give a grade in a performance. It's called a CT grade. And the C stands for competitiveness. It's your urgency that you play with. And we also give a toughness grade, and that's the physicality that we want to play with, and also the mental toughness to, you know, keep coming back, show your resiliency. So the urgency, the finish, the toughness, the physicality, the resiliency, those are traits that may not show up on a stat sheet. They may not show up you know, at certain positions, certainly not on a stat sheet, you know, at some spots. But the way that you compete, the way that you show that toughness. So we give that grade as coaches, and the players also give that grade to themselves and to their unit. And it's another way for us to, you know, hold each other accountable. So I do think that toughness is a talent, and I think you can get stronger at that with your mindset and with your will as you go.
When you got here, you put an emphasis, like, you know, last year on just there being a competition kind of in everything that you guys do. I know the ping pong table has probably been here all year, but why did you add that this year?
Our locker room changed, number one. So we were not as connected as we could be. And so it was just one more avenue for our team to see how close we could get. Someone had used the term yesterday, we were like, is this a collegiate environment? I think it's way deeper than that. This is a brotherhood that's connected, not just personally, but they're also connected professionally. And so it's not just, you know, this is my roommate or we shared in the same dorm. Not only do they want to spend time together out of the building, but in the building too, and having that competition, just something as small as ping pong, just to go battle for it, you know, for, you got 3 minutes till the next meeting, we're going to play game till three, you know, and
Julio said, it seems more natural this year, the relationship. Do you notice that as well? Like, guys, it's not force is what he said.
Right. And we want to make sure, like, if you have to force it, then it's not real. And so those relationships have to come for another. So I'm not back there making up brackets and, you know, I'd like to see, you know, Kearns playing against Morgan here this afternoon. That doesn't happen. So most of them are just kind of spur of the moment. And oftentimes we do the competitions in front of the team each week. And we had to settle one today for a tie. So we had a tie on something that came through for practice yesterday. So before we got rolling today, you know, we had a shoot off to see, you know, where it would go. So those kind of things in front of the team, just random competition, everybody gets to be a part of them. So we just want that kind of, you know, community amongst ourselves.
Last question.
Is any worries about Julio being limited or his effectiveness at all being an issue come Sunday?
I'm not worried heading into the game, honestly. you know, this is an injury that he knows well. We know how to deal with it, so we're trying to get him at his very best. And so for him to participate in the walkthroughs yesterday and some today, and then tomorrow we'll get him, you know, a good bulk of the work. He's on point, and honestly, just want to get him to the game with his best readiness. So I'm not concerned heading in. His physical conditioning is good. The game plan and the adjustments that he does through the walkthrough is good. And then I want to make sure he gets some real work tomorrow with his guys.
Thanks, guys.
All right, you guys have a great one.